Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Business Profit Club with me, Nigel T. Best.
Me, Si Hearn.
Si, how are we doing?
Oh, fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, excellent. Now then, hey.
Exciting times.
Yeah, because we've got someone else with us here.
We have to get
in the old Bunko booth doing the podcast. We have got a very special guest. He has been watching us on doing the Facebook Lives. We're not doing a Facebook Live on this. He absolutely refused at that point. He said, no. I don't want to make Facebook crash by having so many viewers tune into him especially. But he is a great guy, and we've been talking to him just now, just before we hit record, and we've been talking about the ways that he helps people. And it's a way that he's getting some amazing results, because people do need, when they're in business, some help. And if you were an athlete or a golfer or a footballer or anything, what would you call them, Si?
Coach.
A coach. That's what we've got. So it's a great pleasure to welcome to the Business Profit Club podcast, Mr. Mark Bowen.
Business coach.
Good evening to both of you. How are you doing?
Yeah, excellent.
So glad to be here.
Yeah, good man. Good man. Thank you so much for coming. So, Mark, do you want to, obviously, for people that may not know you, and there may be one or two around the world, although I find that hard to believe, who might like to know a little bit more about you, give us a quick Mark Bowen rundown.
Sure. I mean, how far do you want me to go back?
Don't go back to, we're not talking dinosaur period.
1974?
No, yeah.
Writing on slates.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where are you at the moment?
Yeah, so don't have the accent, but been in Yorkshire now for 20-odd years. Obviously, done lots of different jobs in business, from corporate work, from some very large top 100 companies, as well as running a number of small SMEs. And now for the last few years, I've been coaching some of those SMEs to grow their business with Action Coach. So I'm one of the many Action Coaches that you can find in the UK and around the world. If you don't know what Action Coach is, it is a very well-known business franchise helping business owners be all they can be and more.
There you go. Hey, that was pretty good. That was a good pitch, wasn't it?
No, that was
impressive. So, right, Mark, to clarify, you've been employed in big businesses and you've also run smaller businesses.
That's correct.
So you've got a breadth and range of knowledge and experience out there.
Absolutely. I've seen good, seen bad. I've done good. I've done bad. I've been there, done it, wore the T-shirt.
That's what we like. We don't want to hear anyone that comes in saying they've never made a mistake, because the chances are that's a lot of shit, isn't it?
I think the best things I've ever done and that I've learned from are my mistakes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So you're a coach and you're called in. Who's your typical client? So we always like to know, who's your ideal customer avatar?
This will check, see if he's been watching our podcast.
Yeah, he claims he logs in on the Facebook.
Yeah,
he?
I've listened to a few, obviously.
Yeah, good man. So, your ideal customer.
Obviously, I'm happy to work with anybody, but if you really push me, I'd like my ideal customer would possibly be in the leisure retail industry.
Yeah.
And it would be a business that's probably got a fair few people, more than five people working in it with, mm-hmm. with a healthy turnover that's looking to get to the next level. So it could be
hundreds of thousands up to the sort of higher hundreds of thousands into maybe seven figures.
Yes. Yeah. Especially those businesses that have been around a while, grown a team, owners put their blood, sweat and tears into it. They've got it to a certain level. It's often a shift of mindset, shift of business knowledge and practices to get it to that next level. So, yeah, the £1 million turnover club is always a nice one that we work with for some of our clients. And then there's those that are beyond that looking for tens of millions.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Just then, from what you're talking about there, do you find that businesses start with a flurry? If they survive, they tend to survive. And there's very few that kind of get to the next level on their own. Is that where you think the coach plays the biggest role?
Definitely. I mean, you just have to look at the statistics of those businesses that are still around after a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then those that are making, it's every 100, there's only four in profit after 10 years of those that have survived the culls that happen.
Yeah.
And 5 years. Yeah.
The numbers are frightening.
Are horrendous.
They are frightening. And when you look at that, you think, why would anyone ever want to start a business?
Yeah.
But I guess it's the mentality that it won't happen to us, it'll happen to someone else.
Yeah, and it's the classic case of you're working for an idiot, so you think you're better off working for a lunatic.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But if you do it right, it will give you that lifestyle that you want.
All right, so you've got people who are out there who are wanting to start their own business. So, Sai, we're doing a business profit club.
Yeah.
We are combining our forces of forces. That sounded impressive,
didn't
it? Yeah, it was. Cross the stream. That's another one.
Ghostbusters.
But we're sort of looking at building something together.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things that, you know, you have a lot of initial ideas. You've got a lot of initial skills, but probably when we are scaling to a point where we would have a bigger and bigger team, that's a whole different range of skills. And Mark, have you ever met anyone that's been to the how to run a business school of how to run a business that was taught at school? Because I've never seen it.
Doesn't even happen, not even at MBA level.
Right. I've never done an MBA. But I know quite a lot of people who have, and I know quite a lot of them that could do with an anatomy lesson because they don't know their arse from their elbow, you know, when it comes to things like that. Do you like that?
I like that.
I was waiting for that. There you go. So, Mark, tell us, walk us through what you would kind of initially do. So when you're talking to people, you're sort of wondering where they are, what they're up to, and how you could possibly help. So,
yeah, absolutely. You always want to know where somebody is in their business.
Yeah.
Everyone will always have some form of challenges, whether it's things they know that they're just putting off up to something a bit more serious. So again, open and honest discussions are always good if people are looking to work with a coach. They are there to help at the end of the day, whether it's myself or anybody else. But yeah, it's always looking at where they're at now versus where they want to be.
Yeah.
And then from ourselves, we will ask a lot of questions, some of those quite penetrating and could be quite painful questions for some business owners, because really we want them to make sure that they're looking at some of the key things. And it's nothing that's going to shock anybody. It is just some key elements that I will always go through when I meet somebody new, such as, are you tracking how many leads you get in, whether you're selling a product or a service? Do you know your numbers, starting with your number of leads?
Yeah.
Lots of people can't even tell me how many leads they had last week, last month. They haven't kept a list of them in a database, a spreadsheet, or a CRM system. How are they going to go back and reconnect with some of these people? That's just one line out of many that I could question them on.
So do you find that shocking?
No, because it's never taught at an early age.
I think I'd agree with you. Mm. I think I'd agree with you. But when you're asking that question, and the person is trying to respond, the very fact that they're having to verbalize where they're at and what they know, do they sometimes shock themselves?
Oh, yes. I mean, you'll get the next step after leads when we talk about what we call our five ways in Action Coach.
Yeah.
Is conversion rate.
Well, so how many leads did you get? How many did you convert into buying?
Yeah.
So
first time they buy, they're a shopper, and then ideally you want to get them to come back and be a customer and buy repeatedly, repetitively. So, yeah, that conversion rate there, I've spoke to many business owners, and you'll ask them, oh, great conversion rate. Everyone I speak to, I'll get at least 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
And not actually tracking that.
Yeah, and what's reality when they do?
Obviously, we then agree what a lead is, how many people they're either bringing into their shop via the phone, via the internet, how many they're connecting with and putting their service or product in front of, to how many they're buying. And I've seen it, people saying, I'm between 70 and 80, good 75 to 80%. 2 weeks later, after it's tracked, head on the floor as we've got in the room, and it's down at between 12 and 18% of the actual figures, which is great. I think that's perfect. How much room for improvement is there?
Exactly.
Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. So if they're they're doing all right at the moment at a certain level, how great could this business be? Obviously, the owner at the time was distraught. He thought he had a brilliant business. But, hey, got something to work on. And
potential.
Work on it, we do. Yeah.
There's potential. Why do we do that? Why do we guess at the numbers?
Because people just were not used to tracking it. They don't want to see it. But what gets tracked and measured gets done.
Yeah.
And if you do track something, it naturally improves.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have that argument in many businesses, whether they're small, medium, large PLCs, league tables, most people hate them. But actually, if they're used correctly, it's a great way to show progress within teams or businesses.
So one of the first things you identify is a bit of self-analysis for the client. And that self-analysis is you are bobbins at knowing what actually goes on in your business.
Well, I wouldn't say there's bobbins, but, you know, it's making sure...
But you
sure
can't say that the basics to the client, but they're...
Bobbins.
Reality.
Come on, that first meeting, from what you've just told me, you're bobbins.
But for a lot of them, it is understanding
true.
Reality.
For a lot of them, it's true. It's spot on. Yeah. But reality and what's in a business owner's mind, because... I'm a business owner, and I know that you have so much going on in your own head that you have some very strong beliefs as to what you think the business is doing, how you think it's performing. And also, you're very much in the mindset of when people suggest things, well, that won't work. No, that don't work. That don't work. We're stuck with where we are. And it's hard. It's hard to do it. But again, I'm thinking back to anyone in sport. You never see an Olympian without a coach. Never seen anyone get up and get a medal and not have a coach.
Would it be fair to say, Mark, that a coach, when you're not feeling that, feeling your job that day, you're not feeling it, when they come to have their accountability meeting with you, that you get them back up and you get them going again, like what they do in sports, when you're talking about that sports analogy, how many times did Usain Bolt got up in the morning and decided he didn't really want to run? Then his coach said, you've got to do this. What we don't see with all these gold medalists, World Cup winners and everything, Cristiano Ronaldo is a very good example of it, is all the hours and hours and years of practice that's gone into making them person what, you know, that person what they are, the coaching they've received, all that sort of thing. Would you agree with that as along those lines there?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, you look at the likes of Ronaldo or Phelps or somebody like that in the Olympics, their greatness is in the fact that they get up every day and work towards it. They're not an overnight success. They're a 15, 20-year success. Yeah. That's just the bulk of their achievement, that they were number one that day in sport. Well, the same needs to apply in business, that you do something consistently all the time to get it where it wants to go. So many business owners will start a business because it's what they're really good at or what they're really passionate about, ideally both. But blood, sweat and tears will get you so far. You do need some sort of planning and a way forward and consistency in your actions, which is what you get in the sports world, which is the consistency of getting up every day and fitness or cycling or whatever steps they need to take to reach that peak level.
I mean, here's the weird thing, because when we talk about the sports thing, all right, if you're a swimmer, there's various things that you can do to improve you being a swimmer. When you're a business owner, there feels to be so many more variables there. And what we're probably saying is the business owner is putting the hours in.
But not being smart.
Not, or doing, or necessarily picking on the right things. And one of the other things, so I guess a coach's role in that is to say, right, okay, let's analyze what you're doing. And I know Action Coach do a great little graph where they sort of match off the value of something they're doing with whether the person's interested in doing it or not, whether they find it interesting or not. And it's trying to do, okay, well, if you're really interested, what you really want is some great high value with high interest. That's what you should concentrate on. And anything outside of that, you should think about giving to someone else. Mm. And the trouble is, we can't see it sometimes as business owners. We're so stuck in it. We're so absolutely blood, sweat, and tears, as you say, morning, noon, and night. You never have a day off. You never have a holiday. The more you work, the more there seems to be to do. And sometimes you just need that outside person to say, hang on a minute. Come on, let's just take a step back. Let's have a look at what we're doing here. And I think a coach can really do that and identify things. So, Mark, some of the things that you can help people with. So you talk about your five ways thing. So explain just a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I may, just something said right at the start of that little speech that you just gave there. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I'd like to thank my business owners work in the business.
Yeah, this is a great phrase.
And that's right. When you start, you are all in on your business. You are working.
You're doing everything.
The organization chart is me, and me in every single role.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, it might be a partnership and it's me and you.
Yeah.
Obviously, what you never do is because you spend those first few years building the thing, it's all in your head, it's all what you know. You never then step out of yourself and work on the business.
Yep.
So hence what we do is we help people see the value in spending a proportion of their time each week working on their business and making it run like an efficient, smooth, well-oiled machine. And the key, so the five ways, for example, actually shows people how they can do that with some very simple steps. So you do have your number of leads times your conversion rate as a percentage. So the how many people that you interact with turn into sales is one area, because everyone will always say, I need to sell more.
Yes.
So you can't go to the sales shop and get customers. You have to create them through lead generation and marketing and then have a sales process to convert them into customers.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that's crazy on that, and you may well see it quite a lot, is people ignore the customers they've got or the people that bought from them already.
100%.
And they're always chasing new people. So we see it in the ads, and when we talk about retargeting or who's on your email list, well, why not go back out to them? Why are you desperate to do Facebook ads and spend more money to try and get more people in when you've already got a cohort of people who actually know you, have probably bought from you, had some good experiences? Why aren't you going back to them? Well, I need more customers. Well, you've got the customers here.
And that actually leads nicely onto the next part of the five ways. I'll come on to that in a minute, because it is what you just said there is a classic. I can ask many businesses I work with, or those that we do free presentations to all over the place. Draw a list of your customers on one side, all your products and services across the top, and do a simple grid of how many people know which of those products that you work with. What opportunity is staring you straight in the face?
Yeah.
On a simple matrix or a little spreadsheet. And people are always, like you say, chasing more and more. Well, on the five ways, straight under, once you've got your customer base, you've then got your average spend.
Yes. Yeah.
So what will...
And I bet you there's not many people know what the average spend is.
No. We have to... You know, there are a lot of people who will help them work it out. But again, even if it's just something as an annual one, how many invoices you've put out there will be your number of clients versus what that total is, divide it up, you'll get the average.
Yeah.
So that's a simple level, but then you can break it down by product type and go as detailed as you want. But it's always good to know what your average spend per client is. And then you also need to know how many transactions that they're spending. So they're the next two steps in our five ways, which then multiply that out by the number of customers, you've got your revenues. And again, revenue is one of the big things that people say, don't have enough revenue.
Yeah,
you can't go to the revenue shop and buy it. You've got to create it. Same way as you've got to create the customer base.
Here's a question for you. I've done it. People have said it to me, and I've said it to other people. It must be a circular thing. When people talk about, I need to get more money, and I've said it, you'll have said it countless times. Why not just put your price up?
Oh,
and,
definitely.
And the best one I had was when it was someone I was coaching, and I did it on them, and they said, I'm absolutely knackered. I'm shattered. I'm working too many hours. I'm not getting enough in. We've got too many people. And I said, well, why not double your price? And they threw their hands up and just said, I'll lose half my customers. And I said, should we take a moment and do the maths? And they took a moment and went, I'm going to get paid the same, aren't I? Yes, on half the amount of time. Yeah. And they went, I see your point. And it's amazing. We don't do it, do we?
No, it's a big thing that I will show to people. I'm not.
Do you think that's the fear of loss rather than
getting... Yeah,
absolutely.
I would say without a doubt, Si, say any entrepreneur is paranoid about losing it all. Bizarrely, though, I think any entrepreneur who's made it could make it again.
Yeah.
But it's this fear of, often the fear of losing things drives people on.
And more often than not, those customers that are the price ones are probably the ones that have driven you down, want a deal.
Yeah.
They're the ones moaning all the time.
High maintenance.
They'll be the ones you want to get rid of anyway. So actually, it's a blessing in disguise to free up your time
and take
to work on the business,
yeah,
putting more systems and processes in place and working with the clients that want to work with you.
Yeah.
You know, there is a value. Everyone provides a value in a service, and you've got the right people that are willing to pay for that. So why bother with those at the bottom? We all chase thinking we must have more customers. No, actually, let's be more efficient and run a proper business that, you know, potentially can end up working without you, and you've got a nice little smooth cash flow coming in.
Well, I mean, there's so many simple things that we all overlook. Business owners, we all overlook. So we overlook the importance of systems. We overlook the importance of working with other people. We overlook the importance of putting the other people in jobs that they're good at, well suited to, enjoy, and get rid of the ones that you hate, and keep stepping out, as you say, Mark, of your business and stop being in it. But I've made the mistake. Have you seen it where, I'm sure you probably have, with customers where you abdicate responsibility as opposed to delegating it?
Yeah.
It doesn't end well.
I've done it myself.
Yeah.
You've got to manage, right? And more often than not, you'll turn around and go, they were a terrible employee. Well, actually, no. Did you manage bad or did you hire bad in the first place?
I think you can put me down for both of those, probably. On that.
Just for people that don't understand, what do you mean by abdicate?
Well, often if you've been doing a role for a certain length of time, you'll say, right, I need to get someone in. So someone, a coach will come around and say, right, okay. So Mark might say, Nigel, you need to employ someone to do this bit because when we've analysed it, you hate doing it. You're not very good at it. You could probably get someone who's an awful lot better. So you recruit someone into it. And then instead of saying, here's the system, here's what I want you to do, these are the performance stats or KPIs or whatever you want to call them that I'm going to measure you on as to how well you're doing. You don't do that. You go, thank God someone's come through the door. It's yours. I'm off. And you basically don't tell them, manage them or anything. And then 3 months later, 6 months later, you have a look at some numbers. You finally get around to looking at something and you go, what the hell's going on? And then you realize that they've just been doing their own thing. You've given them no guidance. They don't know really what you wanted them to do. And when you've come back to it, it's been a disaster. And as Mark so rightly says, who's at blame? Who's to blame? Who's at fault?
And one of the things that we work with people on is obviously about being that strong leader and building the winning team. And it starts with, like, say you bring somebody new in, make sure that they are the right person. And first thing you should tell them is the rules of the game.
Yeah.
What's the company about? What are the values? What's the, you know, are you expected in at certain times, or is it an open door policy? You know, people will might have come from another job where it was actually I can arrive a bit later because I work a bit later because it's great for my travel. But ultimately, everyone just sees that person as I'm coming in late, and they get their backs up and they complain to the boss, who's then got to have a word because no one's ever explained it up front. What they don't see is when they all leave at 5, 6 o'clock that they're staying till 7. So they're actually working more hours than anybody else, but they don't know the rules.
Mm.
Starts right at the bottom once someone comes in, but that's what you do is you build that good team of people so you can oversee it through the right KPIs, the management, the leverage and the systems and loads of other things as well. But that team will look after your clients and the clients will look after your business and you can sit there as the owner. And that's what we help people do. And I love it.
Just so love you're helping people. One of your principal aims is the person that engages your services as a coach, they're looking to kind of step away, take a working on the business approach, less of the working in the business, and you're the one that's there to say, okay, we totally get that. We'll help you do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's many different reasons why people want to coach. The Action Coach definition of a business is a commercial profitable enterprise that works without you. Doesn't necessarily mean it does. We've got some business owners, they're 100% owner of their own business, and they still work on the shop floor. But they've built up the systems and the team, and they actually have an MD running it, and then they act as shareholder at meetings, but then they'll work in it as well. Others will get an MD in and live off the dividends and sit on a beach, anywhere in between, but it's all about building a business so you can enjoy your life as well, have some fun as well. Business should be fun. Why do you get into it in the first place? You know, why does someone make pies? Because they're great at making pies. Why do they want to be working 20 hours a day, making the pies, doing the accounts, the invoices, everything else? You know, it's they love preparing the food that someone else will buy and pay for and eat.
Yeah.
but they need the business systems and ways of working behind. And like, I meet a lot of people that I work with, and it's, they own their own job when we first meet, and then down the line, they've got a business that they control and they manage, and they have a life, but they also have a value on that business.
There you go, because you can't, if you're not building a system, you haven't really got a business. So if the end game is to sell it, you can't sell yourself if you're doing everything. You can only sell a system that does something and the people that work in that system. So, I mean, this is vital. So for all of you out there in Business Profit Club podcast land, it is, there's a lot of fundamentals we've spoken about here, and a lot of things that if you're in a position where you are, you feel you're plateauing, you feel you're not getting to the next level, and you feel shattered because you're trying to do everything, this is where you really need to take stock and say, okay, right, am I going to, and I'll call it invest in a coach, because that person, you may be paying them to just reflect on the business and try and explain to you how you can make these changes, where you can step out and make the business do something at a much greater level, speed, size, whatever it is that doesn't involve you at the current level. Because let's face it, most of us in businesses in that sort of situation are working flat out. There is no more capacity. We cannot get any bigger. We've got to do something different. You've got to change. And a coach can help you do it. They're not. It's a big difference between coach and mentor.
Yeah, and I'd add consultant to that as well.
And consultant, yeah.
Yeah, consultant is someone that would potentially go in and help you with the work or do a project and leave.
Yeah.
Great. Loads of place for them in the right situation. A mentor is probably somebody that's actually worked
been
in
there,
and
done
it.
Got the T-shirt, that
so,
sort of thing.
And again, great, but you're following their journey and their experiences have been reflected through your journey.
Yep.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfect. But from a coaching point of view, it's about working with and agreeing with the coach what you will do. And the coach is then steering you and holding you to account to make sure that you get there. You know, it's all about working together. I don't tell anybody what to do. People can ask my opinions, but really it's about working on what's going to work for them. You know,
yeah,
we need to try some more marketing. Okay. There's what of these 70 ideas that we've come up with here, which three or four shall we test next? And that's a key thing is, you know, don't fly hell for leather into just one form of marketing. Test and measure things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we take people through stage by stage. And it is little changes, compound up. The power of compounding is works just as well in systemizing your business as it does in putting the money in the bank.
There you go. Perfect. Well, Mark, look, what's the best way people can get in touch with you?
Easiest way, I'm always on my LinkedIn account, which is obviously at LinkedIn, and it's Mark P. Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, and just use my middle initial in there, as there's plenty of Mark Bowens on the world, and you will find me, or you can Google me, Mark Bowen Leeds, and my LinkedIn profile will come up there as well.
Brilliant. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming in today to talk to us here on the Business Profit Club. Have you enjoyed it?
Loved it. Thank you very much. I will be back.
All right, great stuff. Right, thank you everyone for tuning in this week to another edition of the Business Profit Club podcast with me, Nigel T. Best.
And me, Si Hearn, a bit more quiet today, but there you go.
He was taking it all in, he's making notes.
Oh, very interesting, I enjoyed it.
He's written War and Peace over here.
Yeah.
At least I think that's what it is. Anyway, we'll see you soon. Bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to the Business Profit Club. If you've enjoyed it, go to businessprofitclub.co.uk or share this podcast, review it, send it out, tell all your friends. If you haven't enjoyed it, keep dumb. Cheers for now.